Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
You know, our emotions are electric, whether it's sadness, fear, excitement, anger, or surprise. I think when we can better process these powerful emotions, we can start to understand how God can use them for his good. Because our lives, let's face it, are filled with ups and downs. And so how do we deal with that kind of uncertainty? Because we don't always see what's coming ahead of us. And our emotions, I think, can dictate how we feel, certainly about a situation. But it can also affect how we perceive the world around us. We thought we would take this entire month to start the new year to address these important emotions in our lives. Because if we can understand them more, if we can understand how God wants to use them, then we can walk in the fullness of his purpose for our lives. Now, running alongside this Teen Taught series, and I hope you've been enjoying hearing from the rest of the pastoral team, they've been doing a great job. Running alongside of this teaching that we're doing this month is our 21 Days of Prayer initiative. And this is such a great time of recalibration every single year as we take time to really work on our daily devotional focus on God's word and prayer. And as we walk through it together, our relationships are made stronger because we walk through that each and every day. So I would encourage you, if you'd like to be a part of that, to jump in because there's still time left. Now, also, I want to encourage you that if you're looking for ways to help deal and bring some of those runaway emotions under control, a great pairing to this series is our Freedom Sessions that start on February the 2nd and our Alpha course that begins on the 3rd. And so go to calvary.ca for all the details. These are great tools as you allow God to develop you as a disciple and strengthen you in your walk with him. Because we all have emotions. This past year has been a year that has put them all to the test. And so let's walk closer to Christ than we ever have before so that he shines through every one of them. So today we continue with our Mixed Emojis series with episode 4. And today we're going to kind of jump into the deep end of the pool and we're going to look at the explosive emotion of anger. How many of you know somebody right now that's angry? You know, after the crazy year that we've just come through, many have started this new year with more of the same. It's like the Wild West out there, almost like somebody has poured gasoline on an open flame. And from Facebook to Twitter, people are arguing, people are pushing back at one another. How many remember a day when you used to be able to agree to disagree? Not anymore. You can't do that anymore because people will try to cancel you. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to cancel you. So it's a crazy day to be alive, but it's one that God wants us to walk through and walk closer with him as we walk through it. We see political battle lines that are drawn as recurrent vandalism and violence is happening in different places around the world, and even right here at home. One magazine actually called it the Age of Rage, as people's anger kind of bubbles to the surface. But how about you? How is it affecting you? Because if we were honest, we would identify that maybe some of us are struggling with the emotion of anger. Some of us may be feeling easily agitated these days. I know I am. I know I've experienced that myself over the last year. And even as we begin this new year, we begin, you know, wanting to restart and to get a new beginning. And yet sometimes we look outside and it looks like more of the same. And that can be discouraging and that can be frustrating. And that frustration can often lead to anger. You see, in my life, I look to the scriptures. I look to Christ to see how I can manage those emotions. Because I am so eternally thankful that we have an example in him who has experienced these feelings. He's navigated this road that we're on, and he's come out the other end successful. And now Christ is in you. He's in me. And so we should be able to walk through it ourselves. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Because when we think about Christ, we think about this loving Savior, a man full of compassion and mercy, the Son of God, this incredible person that was God in man. How could we possibly live up to that? So we have this lovely picture of who he was, but Jesus got angry too. But the difference is when he did get angry, he did so in a way that honored God. So the title of my message today is Honorable Anger. See, this message deals with some core issues that God wants to bring about change in our lives. Change that can affect an individual, a family, change that can affect a city or even a nation. You think when we look at the media today, everything, absolutely everything, seems supercharged as people listen and watch through a political filter. Unlike any other time in history, everything seems politicized. Sending kids back to school or not. Wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Vaccinate or not vaccinate. Real news or fake news. You see, should we keep the church open or should we keep it closed? All of these things are politicized in so many people's minds, and it has divided some of the church. Matter of fact, you look at society today, you can go to the mall and shop for non-essential items with hundreds of other people, but you can't go to church with 50 people or less that are socially distanced and following all the guidelines. That makes people upset because it affects our lives. It affects our faith. Now, pandemic or not, a trip to Costco is enough to awaken the angry beast within me. And yet, just before Christmas, Susan and I ventured out just to get all the holiday shopping done. And it all begins in the parking lot as you race around trying to find a place to park. But what amazed me as we got through the door, it was insane. There was hundreds of people all touching and grabbing the same turkeys and pies. There was people slowing down in the aisle, bumping into one another with their carts. People socializing, catching up with neighbors. All of these people in this small, relatively small space, all trying to get the shopping done. And something happened. I found myself off to the side with my cart, you know, breathing deeply through my annoying mask that I had to wear. But I just needed a little bit of peace off to the side. But then suddenly I felt this honorable anger starting to well up within me as I realized that we weren't going to be able to spend Christmas as a church together. It was making me angry. It was making me angry as I saw people's carts overflowing and people running into each other, people buying toilet paper like it was the end of days. And it began to just bubble up within me when I realized that after going to great lengths and expense as a church to put signage up, to get hand sanitizer at every turn, get masks, change the way that we do everything, to do it in such a safe way, and yet still be shut down. All the while, it seems like on the other side of it, people continue to put themselves and others at risk by going to restaurants and sports bars and doing all the things that they do, buying non-essential items with thousands of people at the mall. I get it. I understand that we want to keep living our lives. But when we look at the contrast of the two, it makes us angry, gets us upset. I'm all for safety. I'm all for following the guidelines and complying with what we're asked to do as we love our city together. But not all guidelines are measured out justly. And believe me, I think we still have a ways to go. But I want you to know this. This is not a message about how I feel about where we're at in the world today, because I have no agenda in a message like this. As a matter of fact, what I want more than anything is for the Word of God to transform you. The only thing I have in mind is your growth. It's you coming closer to Christ. It's the kingdom of God and how we can walk it out. So I want to speak to you about a very relevant subject from a spiritual perspective. And you know what? If it makes you angry, if it triggers something within you, well, then maybe this message is just for you. So go ahead, put a smiley face emoji in the chat today. Let me know that you're with me, and we're going to continue to look at this together. You know what? It may be rough out there. There may be many challenges that we still have to face, but there's plenty out there today that we have to smile about and to be encouraged and grateful for. And most importantly, at least in my life, we can be grateful that we have an example in the Son of God himself of how to be angry in a way that honors God. You need to know today that it's possible. Many people still struggle with thinking that if I'm angry, I'm in sin. That God gets angry at me when I get angry. But not all anger leads to sin. There's an honorable anger that leads to life, and there's a dishonorable anger that leads to death and destruction. One's in control, one is completely out of control. You know, I still remember when I first got my driver's license, my dad saying to me, "Whatever you do, never get behind the wheel when you're angry." Now, since then, over the years, I've come to see the great value in that advice. Why? Because anger, dishonorable anger that's out of control, leads to destruction. It takes lives. It affects who I am. It affects the people around me. I've also realized that the same advice is true of sending an email or a text. Never send a text or an email when you're upset. Take some time, cool down, and allow yourself to process things before you hit send. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins." So listen, the sin is not the anger itself, but the dishonorable things that it leads to when it's out of control. Proverbs 14, 17 says, "A quick-tempered person does foolish things." Like what? Like rioting, like vandalism, like terrorism, like driving a car under the influence of anger, like domestic abuse. And we see those numbers rising while people are locked down in isolation. James 1:20 says, "Human anger or dishonorable anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." It doesn't even bring about the righteous living that you desire or that you want. And I believe all of us, at some level deep inside, we want a right life. We want to live right, to have an honorable life. It's what God has created you and I for. But I think you and I would also agree that there's a lot of sinful anger, some unrighteous, dishonorable anger that fills the world today. But again, we need to learn from Scripture that not all anger is sinful. Ephesians 4, 26 to 27 says, "In your anger, do not sin." So don't let your anger lead to do something that's dishonorable or inappropriate. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Listen, I heard that so many times from my parents at home. Don't let your head hit the pillow at night until you've dealt with that anger that is bubbling within you. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's an interesting word, foothold. Actually, a Greek word that means to give place or to give room to. And so when we give the devil that opening, when we leave the door open just a crack, that's all he needs. That's all he needs to put his foot in that crack and gain access to your entire home. That could be the reason why so many people today are struggling in their marriage, where couples have allowed that foothold in the relationship of anger that allows the enemy to get in and cause division. Could be why so many friendships are frayed or hurting, because people have let that anger drive them to sin. It could be that if you're not careful, the unrighteous, dishonorable anger that sometimes comes up within us could compromise our witness, affecting the very thing that we care about the most, that God has put us in this world to make a difference. But anger out of control compromises that example. So, in your anger, don't sin. Be very careful not to give the devil a foothold or a place or a room in your life. Now, what I'd like to do is look at the book of Matthew. I want to look at specifically chapter 21. The Gospel of Matthew paints this picture of a time when Jesus himself was angry. And there's much that we can learn from it. But first, let me give you a little bit of context about this chapter. Jesus was entering into Jerusalem right before Passover. Now, in the first century, every Jew in the Roman Empire would travel to Jerusalem for this massive celebration of Passover, and they would come to bring sacrifices or to make sacrifices. Now, Josephus, the Jewish historian, said that normally in Jerusalem, there might have been around 40,000 people, but at Passover, the number would spike to 250,000 people, and there was no social distancing happening. It was wall-to-wall humanity. Now, to understand the mindset of Jesus at this particular time, this was also the last week of his life, and Jesus knew it. So that was weighing on him. There's a certain weight to knowing what he had to do. This was 5 days before he would lay down his life. So if he seems a little tense at this point, we can certainly understand why. See, he knew what was coming. Jesus, the Son of God, who never sinned, walks into the temple, and what he saw, it broke his heart. That emotion was stirred up within him, and it made him righteously angry. He saw greed. He saw hypocrisy. He saw abuse and misuse of his father's house. So in this moment, Jesus does something that's kind of out of the ordinary for him. In his honorable anger, he flips over some tables. Now let's read together what it says in Matthew 21, verses 12 to 14. It says, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And then he preaches kind of like a little mini message. He said, it is written, he said, my house will be called a house of prayer. And you are making it a den of robbers. He's not happy. He's stirred up. Then Matthew says something that really seems kind of out of context. It almost seems like he's combining two stories together. He says, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. Now, literally or figuratively, I think if we were all honest, we've all likely turned over a few tables in our lives. But Jesus wasn't characterized by anger. That wasn't what he was known for. This was a rare occasion. But it's important that we look at this rare occasion and learn from it. In fact, what we do know is that Jesus was known for love, not for anger. Just as Scripture says that the world will know us, that we are his people, by the love that we show towards one another. Jesus was known for forgiving and for healing and for loving. So listen, the purpose of my message today is not to inspire you to go home and flip over your kitchen table and yell at your spouse, yell at your kids, or go to Costco and yell at everyone who works there and tell them all to get out of there. No, that's not what it's about. See, when we are angry, we want to do it in such a way that it doesn't discredit our witness, that it doesn't bring shame to the gospel or hurt other people. In a way, we need to be angry in a way that still honors God. Again, when we're angry, we don't want to sin. So, there's a few specific things that we can take from this account of how Jesus was operating in anger in this moment that we can learn from. To be angry, but it's still in a way that honors God. Now, the first thing that we see in Jesus is that he wasn't actually angry about what others did to him. So the first one, Jesus was angry on behalf of those who were mistreated. He was upset for other people. Honestly, when I look around us and I see our inability to meet in person right now, what makes me angry is not so much how it affects me personally, but I see how it affects our church, the people. How, in the long term, it affects people's spiritual well-being, their mental health, their spiritual health, which is equally important to our physical health. You see, Jesus was constantly being hit by what people were saying about him. But he wasn't constantly being offended by those things about how people talked about him or what they did to him. His heart broke for the mistreatment of other people? Was he ever betrayed? Was he ever criticized? Was he ever hated on or unjustly persecuted? Yes, yes, on all those counts. But that's not what made him angry. That's what would make you and I angry, but that's not what made him angry. Jesus got angry when other people were hurting. What angers you? You see, in this moment, the money changers and the dove salesmen that he was upset with, you see, they were taking advantage of people. They were price gouging people. You see, people from all over the surrounding areas came to offer sacrifices. So there was people there selling doves to other people to give as sacrifices. And there was people changing money as they were coming from different places. But what he saw was the greed. He saw that what normally would cost very little was now being hiked up in its price, taking advantage of the less fortunate. And that's what he saw. That's what caused him to be honorably angry. Second thing we see is that when Jesus got angry, he overturned tables, not people. Sometimes when we get upset, we want to push back. We want to overturn a few people. You see, he didn't push anybody. He didn't punch anybody. He didn't curse anybody out. He didn't burn the place down. Jesus didn't do any of those things. You see, in this context, these tables that he overturned could have represented the system that supported all the hypocrisy and the mistreatment. It was at these tables that deals were made to take advantage of the less fortunate. So in turning over the tables, Jesus was kind of disrupting the system that perpetuated this injustice. He was kind of flipping the script in that moment. But listen, be very careful that you don't take something that is personal to you and try to make it a righteous cause in order to justify your poor behavior. Some people do that. Just because we feel strongly about something doesn't necessarily make it right. It's not right because you feel strongly about it or that particular cause is just. Don't allow honorable anger to become dishonorable. See, too many people in their effort to be right forget all about being loving. I hear people right now arguing about whether church should be open or whether it should be closed, whether we should ignore the order and open anyways. And you know what? I see the church fighting with itself. Stop it. Don't allow your anger to be turned on one another. Continue to show the love of God. Let's trust Him to see us through. Church is not a building, it's you and I. So we need to continue to love. And then finally, number three, when Jesus got angry, he still loved and healed those who were hurting. Remember the story. Who were the people that weren't allowed in the temple? It was the sick, right? The leper, the people that didn't have the right standing in society. These were the people that were kept out. And yet it was these people that Jesus came to give his life for. Jesus came to heal the sick, to give life to those that were dead inside. See, he came to comfort the hurting, to heal the sick. And so in the middle of his table-turning moment was also a people-loving moment. I'm so glad that Matthew included that. Matthew 21:14 says, "The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them." This wasn't a different story. This was even in the midst of his honorable anger, he was still able to love and to heal those that came. Dishonorable anger leads to death. But honorable anger always, always leads to life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the example of your son to help us process our emotions and to recognize that you've given us these emotions to help accomplish your purpose in our lives. I pray for those today that are angry, those that are so angry and they don't even know what it's about. They just feel it inside. Those that are feeling on edge, I pray, God, for the peace of Almighty God to come upon them right now in Jesus' name. Help us to remain in control, to be led by your Spirit, to allow ourselves to be honorably angry, not at the expense of others, but to stand for truth in the day that we're living in. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen.